That is 100% true. We were in the Philippines for 17 years. We came back in 2020. We got trapped here with COVID. We couldn't go back, so Branson became home by accident. So the kids are in school. So I didn't know. Here's what I was told. Oh, you're in the county. You don't need to worry about anything. You can build what you want, do what you want. That's what the realtor told me about county. So being naive, we didn't realize it had to have so many extra rules or come to the planning commission and seek approval for certain things. So we did have a home on Airbnb while we were in that trailer traveling. We thought, okay, we're not home. Let's put it on Airbnb while we're gone. When we got back, I found out you're not allowed to do that. So we immediately took it off there, but I never knew that there was any problems there at all. Matter of fact, I don't know if any of you have any Airbnbs, but you can be very strict on who you allow on your properties. It's not like an open season, 18 college guys show up at your house and tear your house apart. Absolutely not. They have to send me a message and say, here's who's coming, here's what we're coming for, and I can say no. Airbnb gives you the ability to tell anybody no without any penalties, and so we never had anyone in the house that we thought would have ever been any trouble. Matter of fact, it was just families with small kids. So I never knew. I didn't hear from any of my other neighbors that they were climbing over the fence. I'm shocked. I'm shocked that that happened. I apologize, Mr. Grant. I apologize if that happened. I had no idea that he was having those kind of things. It does kind of, I guess, answer some questions, because when we got home, he put signs along the fence saying no trespassing. I thought, well, what did we do? You know? So now I kind of get it, I guess. Maybe he was concerned about, you know, possibility of kids feeding his goats or something. But we didn't know that there was any concern with that. So, again, on record, I didn't know that, and I apologize for that. But once we learned that, that's why we're here for the process, is to do it the right way. You know, we're not trying to break the rules or anything, but now that we knew what we had to do, that's why we're doing it.
So your home, you're not planning on putting on Airbnb or any of that?
Not unless we get approval at some future point, but we don't have a plan for that now, because I learned, which I didn't know, I guess, anything in Taney County has to have fire sprinklers in there if you want to have it on a nightly rental. I don't know who can afford $40,000-$50,000 to put a monitored fire system in their house, so I guess I wouldn't be doing that.
Any other questions for the applicant? Comments amongst ourselves? Feedback? Anybody up for making a motion for or against the proposed application, conditional use permit application?
Well, I believe both of them. I believe the man had a problem. He said if he didn't have any more problems, he didn't think he would have a problem with this. And therefore, I think I believe both of them, and I would vote to allow it.
So you're making a motion to approve?
I'm making a motion.
To approve the application. Do we have a second to that?
I second.
Got a motion and a second?
Discussion? Do you think we ought to have something to the effect he has said he would be there all the time? Should there be something in there that it's only to be rented when the owner is on site? And make that part and parcel out to the... Or not? I've got a discussion.
Well, it would be hard for him. Yeah. It would be hard for him to be on site all the time.
It would be a safety valve there. I think it would...
Probably. Make this gentleman happier for sure.
Yeah, I think so. I understand his point.
Make a comment. I wouldn't challenge anyone to veracity, but I've been told a lot of things that somehow didn't transpire.
Yeah.
Things can happen.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't challenge anyone's veracity.
So do you want to amend your motion to include that?
Yes, I think we would. How would we word that? Amend the motion that...
Don't look at me.
I'm working on it. Just okay. Calm down, George.
I'm good.
That it could be rented for nightly rentals as long as the owner was present and living full-time on the property.
Okay.
That sound good?
Sounds good. And you're good with that as a second?
If I'm not here, the trailer would be with me anyway. So that makes okay sense to me.
So we've got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, raise your hand and say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
8-1. Was it 8-1?
Yes.
Okay.
I think, Randy, you voted for it, right?
Yeah, that's how I had it.
Yeah.
Just you.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you.
So, Mr. Fogel, not to drag this out, but looking at my recreational vehicle, I couldn't find a single-family home definition, but under recreational vehicle, which then I wouldn't do a permit. My thinking was, without causing a building permit, then I have no control of the sewer or septic, or I can't chase that rabbit. So, yeah, making them get the building permit, now he has to check. Of course, he has to check with the fire, but we couldn't do anything with the wastewater.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And I just tell everybody, go see Branson. They don't have to do anything.
Do anything.
You're good over there.
All right. We're down to our last one. 23-003. Proposed accessory dwelling unit located at 659 Peaceful Drive.
David Colner is seeking Planning Commission approval of a conditional use permit for the existing shop house or garage house structure to be an accessory dwelling unit on the parcel, which is located at 659 Peaceful Drive. This is for the ability to build a second single-family home, which is going to be the main single-family home on the lot. Property is currently zoned RR1 Rural Residential District. As per the Taney County's assessor's information, property is 2.5 acres in size with a single-family shop garage-type house built in 2018, his lot number 58 in the Cedars Meadows subdivision. Property is served by Public Water District number 2 for water and an on-site septic system for wastewater. We'll see this a little bit in reverse. Usually you have a single-family home, and then they would ask for an accessory dwelling unit, which is our new mother-in-law's quarters that they could add on a parcel, which is allowable. But now they want to turn the existing home they're living in with the garage underneath into that accessory dwelling unit. So, again, we're down T Highway. We're to the east of where we just were, right across from Y Highway, the Forsyth, Ozark, Edgewater Beach area. So here's our parcel. You can see the structure, and I've got a picture of it. So here's just kind of a mock-up. The representative can move that around if I need to, but if I remember when we went out for the septic, that was the planned location for the single-family home. And there's our structure. The upstairs is the living quarters, downstairs shop, garage. Your applicant wants to turn that into the accessory dwelling unit. That makes sense? That would put two dwelling units on that part. This is full kitchen. This is full blown. They've been living in it. So that would turn into their mother-in-law's quarter, which we have a conditional use section for accessory dwelling units. Of course, they'd be required to get a residential building permit. But then here are accessory dwelling units, an F. Accessory dwelling units or mother-in-law's quarters shall constitute a permitted use in A1 and constitute conditional use in all other residential zoning districts. This is RR1. Two, no more than one accessory dwelling unit shall be allowed on any lot or parcel. This would be the one. Three, accessory dwelling units shall not have a separate address or utilities from the primary residence. And four, no accessory dwelling unit shall exceed 33% of the size of the principal dwelling unit or have a finished living area of more than 1,000 square feet, whichever is greater. So if they complied with these four articles, if they got approval, then we could turn it into the we could give them a permit for their single-family home.
So it's not more than 1,000 square feet of
or 33% of the house they're planning to build.
But they're going to go down to the sewer with the house.
Yes, and I remember I did that septic permit on that, and then it was planned that these two units, because originally Bob and myself allowed connected structures to be considered one structure, but now mother-in-law's quarter can be a connected or a room or a garage turned into one, so that connection part, allowing them to build the house and connect to this, has gone away. They're fallen under the zoning regulations, which requires that to be turned into accessory dwelling unit. You had one other of these,
yeah,
very western edge of the county. Oh, huh?
Off of Amanda Road?
No, it's way over by Barnes Lane, right over by the high road, right next to the high road, where it was a garage and a house, and they needed to turn it into an accessory dwelling for the son and daughter-in-law. With that, I would turn it over to the applicant and representatives.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Evening. My name's David Hurd. I'm a builder with Ozark Mountain Homes, and I'm here to represent David and Suzanne Kellner. I built their home, the garage with living quarters above it, and it was 2016. And at that time, the Kellners lived in Dallas, in the Dallas area. So the idea was to build a small home that then the intention was to connect a larger structure to that, because that's what the rules were at the time. Then they would be able to use the garage with the living quarters above it for their children to come visit. And so now we're at 2023, and the rules have changed. So now we're asking for a conditional use permit for an accessory dwelling. And it is kind of backwards, but that's kind of we were using the rules that were given to us at the time in order to do that. So now, as they're ready to build, this is the first step in the process. So the next step would be getting a building permit.
Can't do it, we don't do
that. That's correct.
Okay.
We're just trying to stay, keep in order.
So what is the proposed square footage of the new home? I'm just trying to figure out how we stay within the regulation of
3,900 square feet, wouldn't it? At 33%.
It's got to be three times bigger than what's already sitting there.
Right.
And if it's not, Scott's not going to issue a permit.
If it's
would have to seek a variance if that structure is bigger than the allowable square footage or percentage.
Correct.
Well, it's that living area, so you're talking about the one floor.
Yes.
Which is high.
Living area, correct.
It's 950.
I don't know what it is.
The overall footprint of it was 30 by 44. The living area, I don't believe it took, it didn't take all of that. It was the, upstairs is two bedroom, two bath, and a living area. I know the overall footprint was 30 by 44,
so
but I can't.
So quarters is 1,200 feet, I
think. Roughly, yeah.
How big a house did they propose to build?
Somewhere in the, well, we're hoping to do less than 3,000 square feet. Right.
We
have some plans. We're working on the plans, but we're trying. Again, this is the first step of the process to find out exactly what we're going to be required to build and what we can build, and also trying to make it affordable, because we're only talking about a husband and wife. We're not talking about a large family. We're talking about two people, and the intention was to use this as a place for their children to come and visit, you know, on occasion. So full time, we're talking about two people that are living there. Right. So it's not like, you know, hopefully we wouldn't be looking at having to build a very large structure.
Pretty straightforward. Do we have enough information to make a motion, or?
Motion to approve.
Got a motion?
Second.
Got a second?
Yep.
Second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, raise your hand and say aye.
Aye. Aye.